about me. I am a child of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sin has been defeated. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It means that faith is tangible. You cannot have faith and not look at what I see. I say what God has said about me. I am a child of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. So we've been building something intentionally since the 11th of January. We're talking about following God's plan for your life. And when we bring up the subject of following God's plan for your life, it revolves around purpose, destiny. Are you with me? The leading of the Spirit. It revolves around making choices, major decisions about your destiny, your future. There's just some questions that have to be answered. Are you with me? Some questions have to be answered. Because when you come to church, the church is what the Bible calls the pillar and the ground of truth. Are you with me? So, the church is a family. That's true. The church is a house of God. That's true. The church is a house of prayer. That's true. Are you with me? But the church is also a school. Say after me, the church is a school. And as a school, you will have to be taught. You will have to learn. One of the signs that you are going to a good church is that year in, year out, you can look at yourself, your ways of thinking, your mindset about things have improved. Are you with me? You look at things better. You have a more refined and biblical perspective to things. Amen. Are you following me? So we're going to do some learning this evening and some Bible study on what I've titled Purpose Algorithm. So what do we mean by purpose algorithm? We want to really answer the question, what is purpose? And that's why I am bringing in this term, algorithm. First of all, I will define what an algorithm is. Our tech bros and sis and people in AI and all of that, you should understand what I'm about to talk about. An algorithm is an internal procedure that has specific step-by-step actions. Does that make sense? An algorithm is an internal procedure that has specific step-by-step actions. Algorithms act as an exact list of instructions that conduct specific actions step-by-step. I will read it again. Algorithms act as an exact list of instructions that conduct specific or specified actions step-by-step. It can be in a hardware or in a software. So, let me bring it to what they call layman understanding. The reason why you put on your phone and your phone comes on the exact same way every single time is because there's an algorithm. Are you with me? As it were, there is a programming. But the algorithm is what defines that programming. It has been set like this. This is what the algorithm says. When you put on the phone, there is a code or there is some set of instructions that has ensured that maybe the logo will come up first and then the wallpaper will come up next. And then the logo of the apps or the icons of the app will come up next. It doesn't just happen like that. It has been designed that way. Are you with me? So what ensures that it happens that way is called the algorithm. Praise the Lord. Now, thinking about it, maybe I should have titled this sermon, Purpose Protocol. You see, when it comes to the subject of purpose, many people have different views. People have different ways they look at the subject of purpose. When you ask somebody, what is purpose? You hear somebody say, what I think, I feel, I believe purpose is. I just feel like purpose is. But you see, there is a way purpose must be viewed. Are you getting me? There is an algorithm to how to understand purpose. Please, are you with me? When you are done with this teaching, you will know exactly what purpose is. You will never be confused about it. And also, let me just give you a head start. Many of the things that we say will contradict all you have ever heard about purpose in your life. So, prepare. Also, I want to separate the concept of purpose from the concept of destiny and assignment. Are you with me? So, also, by the time we are done with this teaching, you will know the difference between your purpose, assignment, and destiny. Praise the Lord. So what is purpose? Fundamentally, purpose is the reason why a thing exists. The great man of God of blessed memory, Dr. Miles Moreau, made a remarkable comment. He said, where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. So he can write somewhere, purpose is the reason why a thing was created, and it is the reason why a thing exists. You know, I've come to discover, that people can say things but don't really understand it. Like, I'm going to unpack this now. For instance, in the subject of demonology, when you ask an average Christian, what are demons? He will tell you, a demon, the one that has gone to some training, he will say, a demon is a disembodied spirit. Are you following me? And what they mean by that is, a demon is a spirit that has no physical body. But there are other spirits that don't have physical bodies. I used to think that it was just because it's a spirit, an evil spirit that has no body. But then it dawned on me one day, angels are spirits, but they don't have physical bodies as it were. Are you with me? And they are not demons. It was, I think, 2 years ago, I was doing rechecking our theology on the spirit realm, and then I've taught it here, you know, when we talked about seat, walk, stand, I talked about it, and then it now dawned on me that from Genesis chapter 6, when the Bible says the sons of God came and had intercourse with daughters of men, and they produced giants. Some of you are wondering, okay, Pastor, what does he want to say now? I'll break it down for you. So when they produced giants, remember, those angels, sons of God, came and they met with the daughters of men and they produced giants. When those giants died by the flood, when the spirits of those giants were disembodied from their body, they became demons. If you want to follow the Bible, if you want to say that fallen angels are demons, what happens to Jude chapter 1 verse 6 that says, and the angels which kept not their first estates has it reserved in everlasting darkness in chains? Are you following me? So the fallen angels were judged by God and kept in everlasting darkness. So if the fallen angels were in everlasting darkness, are you with me? So where are demons from? Are you following me? I'll stop there. Let's go back to purpose. Are you with me? So, when you now hear a demon is a disembodied spirit, you have a better understanding. Are you with me now? So, it's not just that it's a spirit that has no body. They are actually the spirits of the children of the fallen angels that were disembodied. Are you getting me? From their first physical nature. Are you with me? The purpose of an iPhone. Wait, what is the purpose of an iPhone? To make calls. What is the purpose of a Samsung phone? What is the purpose of a Nokia phone? To make calls. It doesn't matter how sharp the camera is. It doesn't matter how clean the notepad is. It doesn't matter how many games are on it. See, if your phone has a bright touchlight as bright as the sun and cannot make calls, it's no longer a phone. It is now a touchlight. Please, are you with me? The purpose of every phone is to make calls. What is the purpose of a chair? What is the purpose of a chair? For sitting, right? Whether it's a plastic chair and a four-story chair, are you with me? A wooden chair. The purpose of every chair is for sitting down. Whether it's a rocky chair, it's for sitting down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That means all chairs have the same purpose, right? All phones have the same purpose, right? What is the purpose of a bulb? To produce light. All bulbs have the same purpose. Whether it is a stage light bulb or it is a... Are you following me? All bulbs have the same purpose, to produce light. So that means all men have the same purpose. Are you following me? Now, the expression of purpose may be different. And we'll get to that. All men will not have the same assignment. And obviously, all men will not have the same destiny. Are you getting me? And in fact, if we all have the same purpose, and all chairs have the same purpose, all phones have the same purpose, all microphones have the same purpose, whether it's a lavalier mic, a clip mic, a handheld mic, studio mic, they all have the same purpose, right? To produce sound. Are you getting me? So one cannot have a greater purpose than the other. It's the same purpose. But you can have a greater way of expressing that purpose. Are you getting me? For instance, the stage lights is producing lights, but where you can use a stage light is not the exact place you can use a floodlight or a candle light. Or are you following me? They all produce light, but the way they produce light, and because of the difference in how they produce light, they are used differently, right? In the same way, we all have the same purpose, but we don't have the same assignment, and we will not eventually have the same destiny. So let me just spill out the bean here. Your destiny refers to the eventual outcome of your life's endeavor. That's what's destiny. The eventual outcome, where you got to. Are you with me? Where you got to at the end. You can call it destination. From there, you can extract destiny. Where you got to at the end. Where did you eventually end up? That's a man's destiny. The eventual outcome of a life's endeavor. Now, assignment, we'll talk more about this on Sunday. Assignment is a platform for the expression of purpose. Assignment refers to what you do in the fulfillment of purpose. What you do, the role or the set of tasks given to you in the fulfillment of purpose. Praise the Lord. So number one, we said purpose is not unique, right? Okay. So already you can see that what most people call purpose is assignment. Are you getting me? What many people call purpose is assignment. And the reason for this difference, you will soon find out. If you don't know the difference between purpose and assignment, you can be doing an assignment that has no bearing in purpose. Jesus. By the time we are done with the teaching, you understand what I just said. You know, those days, something happened many years ago. I think it was before I got born again in 2005. Somebody said, a pastor was preaching and he said, anybody who comes to this world and does not know Jesus, I don't care how rich you are, if you are not born again and you don't know Jesus, you wasted your life. And I was like, are you telling me Bill Gates wasted his life? I said, that guy, that kind of money, no. That guy must have achieved purpose. I said that, no, pastor, no, leave it. That guy, he achieved his purpose. But as I grew, I found out that he was correct. The pastor was correct. Number two, purpose is not career. Purpose is not career. So God created Adam in his image and his likeness, fellowship with Adam. Adam even became a co-creator with God. Thought that he was naming the animals with God. Are you with me? And then God told Adam, go and take care of the garden. Now, if you claim that purpose is career, you are saying that the sole aim for which God created Adam was to be a gardener. Are you following me? The chief aim of Adam's existence was to be a gardener. And you'll be wrong. Purpose cannot be based on what you do with your hands for a living. Your career can be a fuel to purpose, but your career is not purpose. Because if you say purpose is defined by what people do or your career, one of the most confused people in the Bible about his purpose would have been the man called David. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 17 to 18. The Bible says, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Now, verse 18. Everybody read verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son. Come, wait. I want to hear everybody's voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. So now he's a man of war. He's a good instrumentalist. Are you with me? He's prudent in matters. He can be a political advisor. Are you with me? And he's a comely person. He's a fine boy. So which one is his purpose? Have you ever heard people say things like, I can do so many things. I'm confused about my purpose. You see, because you are trying to reduce purpose to career. So, God forbid, a person that defines his or her purpose by what he can do with his hands. Let's assume something happens and you cannot use your hands again. Are you telling me that the chief aim for your existence has been destroyed? Are you following me? How many of you watched the first edition of Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange Part 2, in my opinion, is rubbish. But Doctor Strange Part 1, did you watch it? If you ever watch it, let me see your hand. Do you remember how Dr. Stephen Strange felt when he could not use his hands any longer? He felt like, my life has come to an end. He was a doctor and he was very good with surgery. He was a very good surgeon and he felt like, my life is finished. That's what happens when you think your purpose is what you can do with your hands. And the problem is, if you think the summary of your life is what you can do with your hands, you will not even realize when God is promoting you from one assignment to the next. Oh, what I just said, eh? It may take some of you years to get it. Okay, somebody says, my purpose is to be a developer. I'm a tech bro. I code. God forbid. Well, not God forbid, it will happen. In the next 10 years, if that time comes, so where they say there will be no need for programmers, just talk to a robot like this. Just describe what you want to make to the robot, and the robot will manufacture the app for you. Are you telling me that you have lost your purpose? Are you getting me? It cannot be what you do with your hands. It's more than that. The chief aim for your existence has to be more than that. Praise the Lord. So purpose is not career. So number one, purpose is not what? So purpose is not unique. Number one, purpose is not what? Unique. Purpose is not career. Number three, purpose is not happiness. Purpose is not happiness. I remember watching a video on YouTube and the guy said, one white handsome guy speaking Queen's English. Hey there, you know all those videos on YouTube? Ask me anything. Hey there, if you're looking for your purpose, find what makes you happy and just keep on doing it. What makes you happy will eventually carry you to your purpose. I said, hey, that's one of the worst advice you can ever hear. Even though the guy was speaking clean English, that was the worst thing I've ever heard. Nothing can be more dumb than that. Do you know what you're saying? Find what makes you happy and keep on doing it. Hey! What makes a child happy? To play from glory to glory. Hey, just leave the child to watch cartoon from morning till night. And you're telling the child, if that can make you happy, that is your purpose. Are you with me? Hey. Some years ago, a man called Pharrell Williams wrote a song. He says, clap your hands if you know that happiness is the truth. Who remembers? Was it MTN that used it for their ad or something? Clap your hands if you know that happiness is the truth. Hey! You know, music is a strong thing. You can be singing rubbish, eh? And because it is a melody, people will embrace it. How can happiness be the truth? Happiness is not the sole reason for all things. If you live with that concept, that happiness is purpose, do what makes you happy, you are most probably going to ruin your life. Have you not seen some people? When they were small and they were telling them, go to school, they were angry. When they were waking them up and flogging them and telling them, go to school, they were angry. When they grew up, they blamed everybody that did not push them to go to school. They felt like, I wish you should have beaten me. That means happiness cannot be purpose. A purposeful life will be one of principle and restraint. And even with good things, there is a discipline and wisdom to know when you have had enough. Sleeping can make you happy. You know some people, oh my God. They say the most beautiful thing is when I lie down on my bed and sleep. Say, me, I'm a foodie. See, no matter what you do to me, just give me food. Have you heard people talk like that before? Just give me food and you have come straight into my heart. Food is what makes me happy. So imagine a person says, my purpose is to eat. That's all. Because as long as it makes me happy. You see, when you begin to put the weight of will I call it wisdom now, or scrutiny on all these ideas, you see that they cannot hold water. Are you following me? So the idea of purpose being happiness is flawed. In fact, a purposeful life looks more like sacrifice than even happiness. But you see, a purposeful life is the secret of lasting joy, of true and lasting joy. A purposeful life is the secret of true and lasting joy. Praise the Lord. Are we learning something this evening? So now I can feel the curiosity in your mind. Okay, Pastor, what is purpose? We are still not finished with what purpose is not. One more. Finally, purpose is not determined by the purposed. Purpose is not determined by the purposed. Purpose is not determined by the purposed. So you don't ask a chair, why are you made? You ask the owner of the chair or you ask the manufacturer of the chair. Are you getting this? So the idea of purpose already tells you ahead of time that there is a creator. There was somebody that had something in his mind. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So if you start off your journey by trying to find your purpose, you are most likely wrong because you are asking the right question to the wrong person. You are asking the right question to the wrong person. How many of you have entered a car or a place that was sophisticated, and you saw things in that place that you don't know what it was for, and you thought it was for something else? Oh my God. There are some cars. You will enter it, you will see some buttons. You will think that button is for something else until somebody that really knows what it's for comes and tells you. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for an example. I remember, I think, you know, there's a difference between a car and a moto. There's a difference between a moto. I remember the first time I started driving a car, not a moto. There were things I saw inside. I'm like, what is this for? Until when I opened the manual, I did not know what it was for. I would have probably spoiled it if I thought it was for something else. Once I opened the manual and checked, I said, oh, so this is why this thing is there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, in the same way, you want to know the purpose of man, go and ask the Creator to give you his manual. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, we have said purpose is not unique, purpose is not career, purpose is not happiness, purpose is not determined by the purpose. So, what is the manual, or where is the manual of the Creator? The Bible, his word. We have to ask God. The person that we should be asking is, God, why did you create man? What is the purpose of man? Praise the Lord. What is the purpose of man? And so before I go deep into that, let me tell you what purpose is. A definition that will help remove all the clutter and distractions. Purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. Purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you do will count. Purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you do will count. Are you getting me? For instance, a chair can be used as a table sometimes. You can fold your clothes and put on it on a chair, and it will carry the clothes. Does not mean your chair is now a table. You can stack chairs and use it to climb a certain place. Does not mean those chairs has become a ladder. Are you with me? The one and only reason why a chair was made was for people to sit down. If a chair has a broken leg, you know there are some chairs that, you know, in church, people fall under the anointing and break the chair. But you can stack those chairs and use it to climb a place. Even though you can use it for that, the purpose of that chair has been lost. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
So purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else will count. Remember I told you, no matter how sharp your iPhone camera is, if you can no longer make calls, it's now a camera. So, purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. Listen, that means no matter what happens in your life, even if you bought 10 cars, even if you had a good family, you married, you had children, you went to school, if you did all of that and you missed that one thing for which you were created, all those things will no longer count. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I am saying all of this so you will get the gravity of purpose. So, like I said, this is purpose algorithm. You must get the framework of purpose first. Before we talk about assignment, before we talk about destiny, you must get the framework of purpose first. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, what is that one thing for which we were created and at which we must succeed? Otherwise, nothing else will count. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, from verse 3. Can we put the scripture on the screen? If you have understood me thus far, raise your hand. So, the context of this verse is, Paul was teaching Timothy that prayer should be made for all men, for kings and for they that are in authority. And then in verse 3, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So we are talking about God here, right? For this is good. praying for all men is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, everybody, verse 4 with a loud voice now. That's where the juice is. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, that means no matter how beautiful your husband or your wife is or your children or your car or your house, if you came to this world and you are not saved, you miss the very reason why God created you. Are you with me? If you notice, this is going back to Apostolos. You were sent to know God. Remember 2 Sundays ago, right? So I will show you more so that you know that I'm not just making this up. I'm not just trying to spiritualize, because somebody can be listening to me, maybe you're online, and you're like, Pastor David, you are just trying to spiritualize this whole concept of purpose. See, it's not that deep. It's not about salvation. It's not that deep. My purpose, I was made to be a caterer. I was made. What if you are born in the era where there was no caterers? I was made to be me. If you know my skills on playing the guitar, that's why I was born. What if you were born in the era where there was no guitar, where there was no keyboard, where there were none of those equipments? Are you telling me that you are now purposeless? Are you following me? So let's look at some more scriptures. So the reason for man was salvation. And I will show you. Romans 8 verse 28 to 29. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you seeing this? Remember, you don't ask the proposed, its purpose. You ask the creator. So, it is his purpose for us. Are you with me? He's the one that determines why we are here. It says, all things work together for good according to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Are you seeing that term there? So, he has known you before time. And before you began destiny, he arranged that all men will be conformed to the image of his son. Are you with me? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you seeing this there? Now, even if this looks too deep, let me show you another one. Ephesians 1 from verse 3 to 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Are you following me? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He's still talking. That's a colon there. Verse 5. Having predestinated us. Are you seeing that same word again? So, pre before you began the journey of destiny. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That's a big grammar in King James. What does it mean? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He's saying God created man so that he will have children that looks like Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So it is the one that started everything. It was to the pleasure of his will. He looked at himself and said, okay, now I want to make children that look like my son Jesus Christ. That's why I will create the first man. That's why I will create every other man. So the reason for one chair is the reason for all chairs. Are you with me? The reason for one phone is the reason for all phones. Are you getting this? So now, the question you may want to ask is, why does he want to have children according to the pattern of Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ to God? Jesus Christ is the image of God, the actual image of God. And I will explain. Have you seen that verse? I explained it some Sundays ago, but I will say it again. When the Bible says, and God made man, or better put, and God said, let us make man in his image and in his likeness. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And now, In Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, it says that man was made in God's image and likeness in the sense that God has two hands, God has two legs, he has two eyes. Are you with me? But what exactly is the image and the likeness of God? I will explain. See, when you study the Bible, there are things the Bible says on the surface that represent truths that are deeper than surface reality. So, for instance, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you realize that as at the point when God said, let there be light, and there was light, he had not said, let there be the sun and the moon and the stars. If you read the Bible, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. As at this time, he had not made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the sun and the moon. And he made the stars also. I think that should be verse 16 or 15. So what was that? Let there be light, and there was light. Are you following me? That referred to God speaking into the darkness that was prevalent in the earth before he will begin his work. Paul now explained to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, for light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give unto us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what he was saying is that when God was saying, let there be light, and there was light, in the midst of the darkness, he was talking about how God's salvation plan will come from Jesus Christ. Are you with me? In the midst of the darkness of sin. So that means, for God to say, let there be light, and there was light, that statement, that line there in the book of Genesis, it meant more than just luminous brightness. Are you with me? It was referring to something. It is the same way. Paul was showing us that the same way God looked at darkness and said, out of darkness, light come. God is saying that out of the darkness of sin, I'm going to declare light. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. One of the most beautiful things that can happen to a Christian is to understand the Bible. And it takes time. It will take at least these three things. A diligent reading of the Bible. Are you with me? It will take a submissive heart, and it will take a good Bible teacher. You will need the three. A good Bible teacher can represent a good church, a church that has a passion for the Bible. There are some things I've been seeing these days, and it's getting to my... I'm getting to the point where I'm seeing that if the church does not take Bible study serious, we have, especially the charismatic church, if we don't take Bible study serious, we have issues in the future. There are problems coming. The early church was both charismatic and orthodox. We must have a fine blend of charismatism and orthodoxy, unless there is a problem. For instance, if I tell you now that Martin Luther King Jr. was not a Christian, many of you will not agree. I believe the black people are supposed to be free. I believe the black people. Black lives matter. Martin Luther King Jr. was the champion of protesting for black. Do you know that Martin Luther King Jr. did not believe that Jesus died and rose again? He didn't believe in the virgin birth. He claimed it was a made-up story. Are you getting me? What actually makes Christianity Christianity? That's the Bible. Hey, God. There are some programs we will bring back. I remember the first time I taught Bible Illumina for 8 hours. When we finished the teaching, one girl just carried marker on her own, went to the whiteboard and wrote, I have been Bibled. See, I have been Bibled. Like, what is this? Let me tell you the truth. We need to do it. Muslim scholars. Have you been seeing all those videos where you will see a Muslim scholar, they will gather many young people, and they'll be, the young people will be asking questions, and those things run for hours, oh, 8 hours, 10 hours. So that's what Charlie Kirk started doing. We have to teach the truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what brought me here? Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What exactly is the image of God? Are you with me? Of course, you have heard me teach in John chapter 1 from verse 8. It says, no man has seen God, but he that comes from the bosom of the Father has declared him. So, nobody has seen God physically. The first revelation of God that was clearly made known to man, are you with me, was Jesus Christ. That's what we see in John chapter 1 from verse 8. No one has seen God, but the only begotten Son, which was from the bosom of the Father, are you with me, has declared him. And if that's not clear enough, look at Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 3. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things. Now, everybody, verse 3. We are talking about the Son, right? Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Glory. So you can stop there. What did he say the Son is? What did he say the Son is? One more time. What did he say the Son is? The brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. So if Jesus is the express image of God, when he said, let us make man in his image and his likeness, he was saying, let us bring man into Christ. So the sole purpose of man being created is to be in Christ, is to know God. Are you with me? Is to be born again. That's your purpose, to know Christ and to make him known. Glory. Now, doesn't it look like you were sent to know God, you were sent to manifest God?
Yes,
remember 2 Sundays ago?
Yes,
unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The reason why he wants children after the order of Jesus Christ is because Jesus Christ reveals his actual image. He's the express image of his person. Are you with me? So he wants children that looks like him. So the reason why he created men is that he wanted children that look like him. Somebody logically thinking will say, okay, if you want children that look like him, why didn't he just do it at the beginning? Just collect, bam, all of you, bam. Because you think God is like you, that will force your will on people. God made you a free moral agent. So even though he wants you to look like him, he wants you to choose. That was why there is still a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's a tree of life that you will still choose. Because if there is no option of choice, it cannot be really love. Are you with me? So he wanted children that look like him, but he wants them to choose to look like him. Amen. Let me show you another one. Ephesians 1 from verse 9 to 12. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. You see that again. Now, verse 10. Everybody read verse 10 with me. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his will. Read verse 10 again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. He's saying that everything in heaven and earth should be a portrait of the image of Christ. This is the reason why in the Old Testament, you have people who are in different facets of life representing God. So what God was trying to show us is, in Daniel, you see what Christ looks like as an elder statesman. Are you with me? In Abraham, you see what Christ looks like as a businessman. In David, you see what Christ looks like as a politician. People think David was a pastor. So God wants all of us to be in Christ. But when you look at the system and the government of the earth, the way the earth runs, you see Christ in business. You see Christ as a husband. You see Christ as a politician. You see Christ as a minister. Are you with me? You see Christ as a musician. You see Christ, the way Christ would have been as any of these things is what God wanted to see. So that when he looks at the world, he sees himself in different multifaceted dimensions. Are you with me? Do you get it? So the purpose of man is to know Christ, to make him known. My purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Glory! And I will close with this verse, Ecclesiastes 12 from verse 13 to 14. See, when you understand that the purpose of life is to know God, to know Christ, make him known, it will dawn on you that you cannot live your life anyhow. Anything and everything you do will affect how you both you knew Christ and how you manifested Christ. Look at the Ecclesiastes 12 from verse 13 to 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Look at that. Are you seeing this? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Then in verse 14 it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. Now, assignment has come in. Work. We'll talk more about this on Sunday. So, listen. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, if we are constructing a 5-story building, are you with me? Our purpose here is to build a 5-story building. But do you know that, imagine, do you know that somebody can be walking there and because he has lost sense of our purpose, he can be doing a work that has no bearing with this purpose. Oh, God. Somebody can be walking there and what he's doing is contributing nothing. Nothing. So imagine an architect comes after we have drawn the plan. We have started building. And every day he comes to the field and you see him with his instruments drawing. You ask him, what are you doing? He said, I'm drawing the building. He said, but the building has gone. He said, don't worry, Mia, this is what I was born to do. This is what, are you with me? What you are doing has no bearing with this construction going on. The building plan has been done already. In the same way, if your life is not gravitating towards what God is doing in Christ, you can be a businessman somewhere. You can have one thing somewhere. If it's not contributing to that purpose, you miss the point. Are you with me? See, your marriage must contribute to it. Your business, your children. Why should you even get married? Apart from companionship, it is that your marriage will be a support system for you to serve God. Why are you having children? To raise a godly generation for the Lord. Are you with me? You must see, purpose is what helps put direction to everything you are doing. Because one day, God will judge every work. Was it in line with why I sent you? Do you get what I'm saying? Jump on your feet. Satan, my purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. My purpose is to know God. Hey, today some of you are sounding angry. My purpose is to know God and to make him known. Give him praise right now. Thank you.